Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. I love the Lord, our God and King, and He loves us. And He's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Always in motion, doing things to be a blessing to His people because He loves us so much. God is relentless about His love towards us. And He's always been, even when men frustrated Him the most. I thought about something last night, how things go in cycles. When people knew God, just like the first generation, this pattern has continued to happen. When they knew God, they didn't want to receive Him as God. Now, this Romans chapter 1. And I noticed this so many times, over and over and over again. In every culture, this would happen. Now, some people never got to a point where they knew God correctly, but the wicked were always there. And people that would love God were also always there. Everything the Lord did, He had to do it. He did it with His best wisdom. And let's see. The Romans chapter 1. Chapter 1 verse 28. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now this, he's talking about the first generation. And before that, he's talking about how the things of God are understood through creation. See, people have a desire towards uncleanness, sin. Once it invades a person, it's just like a person getting cancer, then they go to stage 4 and stage 5. With sin, it's a process of death. That's what it is. It's dangerous. It changes your mindset. So we're trying to call people out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And many, many Christian men and women of God, that's what they desire the most. So they pray. We try to give people hope. And pray for your loved ones. And sometimes we pull it off. We can minister the word of God, live the life of God, heal the sick, and minister life, and people come through. We do warfare. But the last few broadcasts I've been doing, He has a protocol for people who love the world system. Now, when people love the world system, they always fall away. Watch this. Even people who know better, even people who have tasted and seen that God is good, even people who were baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues, worked miracles, people fall away just like the angels did. That's why Peter had to write 2 Peter. See, when people make those kind of choices, then God has to have a ready response. And that's what I'm talking about when the Lord said my response. He's not talking about salvageable people. He's talking about unsalvageable people. Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. And He'll turn to them and say, I knew you not. So let's look at Romans chapter 1 again. You know, Paul wrote a lot of things here that sizes up the world system. It shows us what to watch out for. It shows us what to not to be like this generation. It says, verse 17. I start with 16. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. to the Jew first, they were the tribe, the Jewish people. They were the tribe that the Lord set apart to introduce salvation to the world. They took Canaan land, and they lost Canaan land, but in the process, Jesus came through the tribe of Judah. So they had a history with God. Many prayers, millions and millions of prayers went up to pull this off. God kept covenant with Father Abraham. So it should be to the Jew first and also to the Greek, because God promised Abraham, when you go back to the promise, he would be a blessing to all families. See, that, you know, God had an entire plan from the beginning. So, but I want you to see, focus on what God did in spite of man's response, which was negative. He said, verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. God did something that we can have faith in. He kept his promise. He's moving by the Holy Spirit, and he never stopped. From the time that the Holy Spirit moved on the earth, he's always been working out a plan of redemption for us. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So that's where the wrath of God, that's why it appears. Verse 19, this is very important. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, everything God made has no sin in it. It has no corruption. Sin was brought into this world. It came with Satan, but it couldn't do anything until Adam allowed it. When he partook of it, he let that the leaven of death started working in him. But God promised him life. From the beginning, by the Holy Spirit was still moving. See, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now this happened to people just like us. They once knew God. We know God through salvation. They knew that he was God. Some of them received him, like Enoch, but they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now see, God had a response back then. He had to have one. And this is what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about his response to what he's going to do about the people that are wicked, that are proud. When the rapture happens, he's going to leave them here. I'm not talking about salvageable people. I'm talking about people who made a choice that they were going to do it the way of the world. To do nothing is the way of the world. To not get saved is the way of the world. All of it is the world system is entrapment. It's all entrapment. That's all it is. I read verse 24 again. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave them up to a vile, unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Homosexuality, lesbianism, it's against nature. Witchcraft is against nature. It's against the, there's nothing in the world that suggests that this is okay. All animals, male and female. And to have power over others, to desire power over people, that's wrong. But the love of God is the best thing going. Why don't people gravitate to the best thing going? Why don't people receive salvation? Because they love the world somewhere. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of that error which was fit. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. This kind of arrogance is of the will. And they despise light. This people that love this kind of darkness, they despise light. And when there are people who are salvageable, they do wrong things. They do things that look terrible, but they're still salvageable. I'm not talking about them. People who have practiced these things. See a person can start, when they start sinning, and they do it for fun. They do it for fun reasons. Their friends do it. They go get drunk. They have sex out of marriage, out of wedlock. But see, if you still have, you can still be salvageable. Though people do those things, they can still be salvageable. Some people do those things and they get bored with it, because sin is an attempt to be a mockery against life, and it's not fulfilling. So they're doing the deeds that in the name of fun, and then it causes them not to. They don't have rest and peace, and they won't rest in peace. Some people just don't understand things. Or they went with an ideal that was, that though it was satanic, they didn't see it that way. They took the bait, but the bait didn't satisfy. And they still have a hunger and appetite for God. And if they see the life of God and somebody take time with them and minister to them, they can come out. If somebody break the darkness that's holding them back. Now that's what happened with Kenneth Hagin's brother. He rebuked the enemy. He told Satan that he couldn't hinder him from coming to the Lord. Now I can't quote him now, but I remember that when I first heard that testimony, I started taking authority for people that I loved and wanted to, and people that even strangers. I would tell Satan what he couldn't do and pray just like Kenneth Hagin prayed for his brother. And I don't know how effective it was, but God does. I know the things that he told me as I did those things. I believe what he told me, but I didn't follow him around to see how the life turned out either. So, but I still do that. When I pray for people, I arrest the enemy too. Now, if God prompt me to do it, I know it works. But, It worked for him. Kenneth Copeland talked about a guy. He was praying for his brother that was reluctant to get saved, and he rebuked. He stopped the enemy. He took authority over the enemy that was hindering him from coming in, and prayed that the Lord would send laborers. And everywhere he went, people were ministering to him. A hitchhiker picked him up, and that's how he got saved. A hitchhiker picked him up and taught him the word of God. And he ended up getting saved. Called his brother. What did you do? I just saw that the other night. People like that are salvageable. That's what we need to be doing. We need to be ministering to people who are salvageable. Now, the opposite is true. Sometimes people are not. Even though they're in church, even though they preach, even though they listen to preachers. That Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord, I knew you. We preached in your name. Don't take that lightly. This is a serious problem. You know, Paul said, told, I think it was Timothy he was talking to. He said, many will rise up among you after the decease of the apostles, after my decease. Many are going to rise up and start doctrines. Now, this is the point I'm trying to make. This is a problem among people. This is a problem among people. Not just a race. You know, American is a Christian nation. It's known as a Christian, or it was known as a Christian nation. And then Russia, they wanted to be red. They wanted to be have communism, you know. And China said, there's no God for the Chinese. Well, they wrong. There are many Christians in China, probably as many as there are in America or more. Because people have a hunger for God, and God knows where they are and how to win them. So the stoutness of man can't stop the love of God. It's just not going to happen. But even though there are Christians, there are also anti-Christians. The spirit of Antichrist is out there. Just like Jesus is out here with us, there's a spirit of Antichrist out there with them. The two are opposite. And sometimes people in our camp have flipped over to their side. And God has a response. Tares, see, there are tares among the wheat. Tares are the devil's children, whether they be of another religion or ours. Israel always had enemies within, just like enemies without. And even the way that they fought battles, half-hearted people don't fight. If people that love sin don't fight sin. You know, the men of Ephraim tried to come and kill Jephthah after he won the victory because they were embarrassed. But they thought just like they thought no better than the Ammonites. They didn't go out to fight them. You know, think about it. You know, God show us the truth. It's there on paper and ink. He shows us how people do. The prophet Elisha told the king, open the window. He was about to die. He said, shoot. And he shot to the ground three times. This represents his dedication to win. He shot three times. The prophet said, "You should have shot five or six times." So now you're on to have win three battles against Syria. He could have wiped Syria out, and that would have solved a lot of problems if he had shot the arrow five or six times. They would have defeated Syria, which became one of the greatest enemies to Israel. I thought Iran was a terrible enemy. Syria. See, if you study the what happens to Damascus, that hadn't happened yet. It's going to happen. But a lot of other things happened before. They could have been defeated way back in his days. But the king wasn't vigilant enough to shoot the arrow five or six times. The prophet told him to shoot. Why didn't he just shoot once? He shot to the level of his dedication. If he had shot five or six times, they would have won against Syria. Syria wouldn't have ever been a problem against Israel. And the things Syria did back then caused them to go into captivity, helped cause them to go into captivity, along with what Egypt did. That's what the book of the Spirit of Egypt is about. The witchcraft of Egypt caused them to go into captivity. And you have to read the book to see what it is, what God revealed. The reason I use the word witchcraft is because the plots. Every region has a king over, not a human king, but a principality. And the spirit of Egypt, the spirit that was over it, was using their pride against Israel. Egypt never repented for wanting Israel. They always wanted to re-slave Israel. Every king wanted to be the king that brought them back into slavery, because that was terribly embarrassing, and they didn't let it go. They didn't pray for the peace of Israel. They always wanted to entangle them again, but they couldn't. So Egypt sent out three enemies against Israel that were very effective. One was Solomon's wife, the queen. Two, Benhadad. Three, Jeroboam, son of Nebat. These three enemies caused Israel to go into captivity. They set the patterns. Now see, Benhadad was of Syria. And if you study the kings, you'll see but read the book, because the spirit of Egypt, he woke me up and gave me that revelation in 2004, had me to put it in a book in 2011, and it was published in 2012 on the website. Now, the thing is, God loves us. And he cares about us. He always gave man redemption. But guess what? Just like the religious order had fallen away when Jesus came, they're the ones who wanted him dead. The Pharisees, Sadducees, the priests, the scribes, they gave Jesus trouble everywhere he went. So, in the early church, all the nations around Israel were Christian nations. All of them. Syria, Turkey, Egypt, Ethiopia, Iraq, Iran, all those nations. Russia. But something happened. The Greek, all of them. Christianity spread. There were also pagans, a lot of pagan worship going on. The Catholic Church tried to blend it. So there's an appetite for the world, just like there's an appetite for God. Tares don't just marry tares. Tares, we can't tell who they are and who they're not. We really can't with our best efforts. Even tongue-talking people can be a tear. Jesus said, many will come to me saying, we've cast out devils in your name. That's what tongue-talkers do. We preached in your name. I said, man, this is... that was a time I said, now, wait a minute, Lord. The Laodicean church, I asked him, what was the Laodicean church like? He said, they're like Saul. And then the people he turned to and said, I never knew you. I said, who are they like, Lord? What character in the Bible are they like? He said, they're like Doeg. Doeg was an Edomite. He didn't have a dog in the fight. He didn't care about God at all. But when Saul commanded his men to kill the priest. Now, pay attention to this statement. If the lukewarm church is like Saul, and Saul gave the order to kill the priest when he was hunting David, Doeg did it without a flinch. Even Saul's men wouldn't do that, but Doeg did. Now, I said, what? How do they, you know, the people that's like Doeg, they're the ones who, they never had allegiance to God. They may have said the prayer, they may have went to seminary, but they never had a heart love for God. But they did have one for pride, prestige, things like that. And people are clever about hiding it, but they can't bear fruit. They're sterile to life. They breed darkness. And this is a terrible problem in the church. Why do you think there's so much reluctance and negativity? Sleepiness. I put it this way. You take a man that's light, that's full of the Holy Ghost and fire, people will listen to him for hours. I've seen Pastor Jackson preach. He ended this, he closed out. He gave the benediction. And nobody moved. Nobody moved. So he talked another 10 minutes. He said, you know, y'all are dismissed. Nobody moved. Nobody moved. Then he talked another, he talked a while longer. He said, well, you know, y'all dismissed. Then everybody got up. I saw this. I was looking around. What, you know, this, it was fascinating to me. Why? Because when you love God, you have a devotion to God. People want to hear it. They want to be there. But the opposite is true. If you love the world, worldly preachers, they or people that's in sin when they preaching, that they breed unrest in the body of Christ. People can't wait to leave the church. Now, people don't know why they don't want to be there. But if you love God and you just can't wait to get out, there's something wrong. Now, if the man of God is on fire and God and the Lord is moving and you got to get out of there, there's something wrong with you. Because why? Several of us after church, we have church after church. We'll stand around and talk for sometimes 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour outside, talking about the goodness of God. Because what? We love God. We're attracted to the Lord. Now, I have customers, sometimes they'll talk, they can talk, they can do that too. People love God. They want to know him. But the worldly people can't wait to get away. So God know everybody, and he has to deal with this. Now, do all you can for people that are salvageable while there's time. Until Jesus come back, there are people here. If Jesus don't come back today, that means there's still people here he can salvage, and he can and there's still time to do it. So we have to pay attention to the Lord. There are many tares, and it's probably safe to say, I remember at one time in certain states there were more tares than wheat. God used to tell me that. He said, in the Birmingham area, he said, for every one true prophet, there's five false ones. I remember he told me the several different states. I think Florida had the most, and Texas for every, if I remember right, for every three true prophets, there was one false one. It was fewer in Texas. But I, you know, that was a long time. I have to go back and remember. He told me those things for a reason. The ratio is high in places. And, you know, I don't know what it is today. This was way back in the 90s. So we have to pray and fast and study the word and do whatever God put on our heart to win the loss. Now, yesterday he gave me this this definition of balance. I wanted to read it again because his people follow him. Worldly people follow the world. And John explained this. He that's of the devil sins. He that sins is of the devil. And but when, if you're born of God, you can't sin. If Christ is formed in you, you're not just born again. You're born of God. You're born again, and you fill your heart with the Word of God. You follow on and know Him. Then you won't sin. If you sin, you're gonna hate it. You'll know it because you have that conviction, and you'll do something about it. Balance, he said. Balance is determined sincerity. That's what balance is. Balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. Then he said this, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. The king that shot those arrows, he should have had relentless sincerity. He had enough sincerity to shoot three times. If he had relentless sincerity, he would have shot five or six times. Perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It's steadfast and unmovable and never changes. Proud men can never be balanced, value it, or appreciate it. There are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Their focus is within, their pride. See, pride looks within, and it is a worldly view. Now, the fear of the Lord is found in Proverbs 8:13. Very important. Proverbs 8:13 reads, the fear of the Lord is to hate pride, evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. This is the fear of the Lord. Now remember this, those that love God and minister, you can't have strife in your heart and sow good seeds. The word of God is sown in peace. The word of God is sown in peace. We got to make the most out of our ministries. Forgive everybody who offended and love everybody.